up for those who can't speak up for themselves. Okay? And then Proverbs 24, verse 9. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 24, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 24, sorry, it's from verse 11 and 12. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? That's the word of God. Now today I want to speak to you about the greatest evil and holocaust in the world. It's not slavery, it's not terrorism or human trafficking, although those evils are horrific to the core. This thing is much more fatal and deadly, and it's called abortion. They say the most dangerous place on earth is not in North Korea to be a Christian in China or in Northern Nigeria. The most dangerous place in the world is in a mother's womb. Did you know that? It's the most dangerous place in the world. Now, there are two reactions to today's sermons that will be tragic. The first would be you listening to this sermon and you disagree that abortion, you disagree with the fact that abortion is evil and heinous and should be detested. And you try to justify that women indeed have the right to abort their children if they so please. If you have that reaction after this sermon, it will be very tragic indeed. If you disagree that you think women has the right to kill their own children, that would be tragic. But another reaction that would be tragic is this, that you agree with the Bible and with me that abortion is indeed a sin, that it is evil, that is against God's will, and it should be fought against. But then afterwards, after you listen to the sermon, you walk out and you do absolutely nothing about this problem. That would be tragic indeed. You can see that's a problem with many people, many Christians even. They hear the message that abortion is evil, and they agree in their hearts, yes, it is very evil, we should be against it, but actually afterwards they do absolutely nothing about it. And that reaction would be tragic as well. I tell you what I want to achieve in this message. I want to bear on your mind the evil of abortion. I want to show you from Scripture and from common sense that abortion on demand, as it is practiced around the world, is the biggest holocaust we are facing in the 21st century. The biggest one in the world. It's the biggest problem. It is worse than what Hitler did to the Jews and Stalin did to the Christians in Russia in the 20th century. Why do I say that? Because more babies have been killed by Hitler and Stalin combined in the last 50 years. Okay? So what I want to achieve today is I want to bear on your mind that abortion is evil to the core, and it should be fought against, and that you and I should be a voice for those who cannot speak up for themselves. That's what I want to achieve. I want to help you to be actively involved in different ways to protect the lives of these innocent babies. That's my goal. I'm telling you from the start. That's what I want to achieve to this message. Why do I want to achieve this? Because I don't believe this is just my message. I'm not going to try to convince you to do something good for the sake of doing something good. That's not my message. I believe this message comes from the Bible, and I believe God supports this message. That you and I, as believers in Christ, must fight against this evil, and that we should speak up in different ways against this atrocity going on in South Africa and around the world. As our text says, speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. So first of all, my first point is this. Human life is sacred. That's my first point. Human life is sacred. The big debate about abortion around the world is, and some even among believers, is that they attempt to justify abortion. Why? Because they say life hasn't really started at conception. Life, at some point during the pregnancy, actually starts. It doesn't start actually at conception. And that's why many, many Christians, and I've heard now in America, many preachers actually preach that you can abort your child in the womb and it's not a sin. I've heard that from the pulpit. And that's horrific. So the big debate is, when does life actually start? Human life, in the biblical sense, when does it start? I want to read you a few texts from the Bible. Psalm 139 verse 13 says, God says, or the psalmist says, "You created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139 verse 13 to 16 says, "God has determined the number of my days even before there were any of them." Okay, that's Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. Ruth 4, verse 14 states, "And the Lord enabled her to conceive." Okay, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. So there you see the divine God actually is behind it. Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1, 15, 16, that he was chosen by God before he was born. Jeremiah says the same thing. He was known of God before God formed him in the womb. Okay? And he was consecrated to God before he was born. And then Isaiah 44, 24 states, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord who has made all things." Okay, so that's the few texts that shows that God is intimately involved in the process of conception and the child being formed in the womb and so on. Proverbs 6 states that God hates the shedding of innocent blood. That actually phrases all over the Old Testament. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Now these texts above, or what I just mentioned, may prove that God is creating life in the womb, but you might still say, but when does life actually start? Okay? Now, life is a mystery, and we have to say, scientifically, it starts with conception. Each parent contributes 23 chromosomes to form a distinct, unique human being. The unborn baby is at conception genetically, physiologically, and organically a distinct person. At that moment, at conception, life begins. From that time forward, any formation is purely a matter of development, growth, and maturation. Nothing is added after conception. It just grows, basically. So life starts at conception, scientifically. Let me give you a few other facts. At 3 weeks, a tiny human being has the beginning of eyes, spinal cord, nervous system, lungs, stomach, intestines. The heart begins beating at about 18 days. 6 weeks after conception, the baby has its own lifelong brain wave. Now, if the absence of a brainwave constitutes the death of a person, why does the presence of a brainwave not constitute the life, the presence of life? You might think about that. Why is it that the absence of a heartbeat constitutes the absence of life, but the presence of a heartbeat does not constitute the presence of life? Think about that. In the sight of God, life is sacred, and that is why Genesis chapter 9 says, in Genesis chapter 9 it says, if somebody kills somebody, that person must be killed. Why? Because life is sacred. And Genesis chapter 1 tells us we were made in the image of God. Because we were made in the image of God, the animals, the birds, the whales, all those other creatures, they're not made in the image of God. You and I were made in the image of God, and therefore life is sacred. We have dignity, we have meaning. God created us, we were made in the image of God, and no person has the right to kill somebody else. That's why God wants those people to be killed. Murderers, there should be a death penalty, because we don't have the right to do that. Only God has the right to take a life. Psalm 139 says, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 8 says that God has crowned us with honor and glory. Humans have dignity because we were made in the image of God. So in other words, life is sacred. Now, it's interesting that in America, if you kill an eagle egg, an egg of an eagle, you can be fined tens of thousands of dollars if you kill an eagle egg. But if you kill a human in the womb, the egg, there, nothing. So which one is more important? Think about it. This is madness, actually, if you think about it. So that's life is sacred. Now let me give you some facts about abortion. Now, this might disturb you a little bit, but it's good for you to disturb in a little way, to some degree. Why? Because many of us Christians, we live in a cocoon. We don't know what's going on in the world. We don't know what's going on in hospitals and clinics. We don't actually know what's going on. If you want to know what's going on in abortion, go and watch the movie Unplanned. Roxanne and I, last year, it was actually showing in the cinemas. Unplanned. It shows you of a woman that was involved in abortion. She had her own abortion. She killed her own child. She worked at Planned Parenthood for many years. A true story. They made a film about it. And then one day she saw what they actually do in an abortion. The amount of blood that was spilled, and the baby was fighting for its life, and then the doctor just basically killed it. And she couldn't live through it anymore. She cracked completely, and she said she wanted out of this thing. Because she saw actually how gruesome and horrific abortion actually is. Do yourself a favor. Go and watch that film, Unplanned. Very good. I think you can probably get it on YouTube or someplace. What are the facts about abortion? What actually takes place? Let's be honest. Abortion is the killing of an innocent human being. It is murder in God's court. It is evil. There are many physical, emotional, and spiritual complications that arise from an abortion. Some physical effects on a woman. Death of the mother. Some women die. Death of a baby, obviously. Sterility, future miscarriages, stillbirths, menstrual disturbances, bleeding and intensive pain, infections, shock, perforated womb, frigidity, breast cancer. All these can be physical, these are documented, effects of an abortion. Psychological effects, guilt, regret, remorse, suicidal impulses, mourning, nightmares, anger, rage, hostility, child abuse, despair, helplessness, inability to forgive self, desire to remember the death rate, hatred for anyone connected with abortion. In fact, I used to do outreaches at schools with a friend of mine when I lived at Kwasi Sibantu. We did outreaches at schools. And this one man, or a co-worker, he talked to one girl, and this girl wanted to speak to him, and she said, all I could see at night is blood. Because she killed her own child, she cannot sleep. She has nightmares day and night. She wants to get out of this. And that's not an isolated case. As many times what happens with women that have abortion, it haunts them for the rest of their lives. According to the Termination of Pregnancy Act in South Africa, because it's illegal in South Africa, abortion has been legalized since 1997. This act allows anyone to have an abortion up to 12 weeks without any reason provided. That's the law in South Africa since 1997. The most common method, now this is going to be a bit gory, four ways that abortion takes place, is suction, where the unborn baby and placenta is sucked out of the womb in pieces. Second is dilation and evacuation. It's another method. A surgical instrument is introduced into the womb and dismembers the unborn child. The third one is prostaglandin, another method where a drug is used to induce premature labor that expels the unborn child. The last method is hysterotomy. A mini cesarean section is made during the operation, which opens the mother's uterus where the unborn child is either strangled or left to die by neglect. These are methods of abortion. These things are happening every day in South Africa, and nobody says anything about it. Well, some people do, but some other facts about abortion in South Africa. From 12 to 20 weeks, the conditions are so broad that any woman can have an abortion for whatsoever reason at all. Actually, anybody can do just an abortion. Young teenagers can have an abortion without their parents' consent. They don't even have to inform their parents that they are pregnant and having an abortion. Legally, they can do that in South Africa. Thirdly, women can kill their babies without their father or husband's consent or knowledge. Lawfully, you can do that in South Africa. A doctor is not penalized if he acts outside the terms of the law. However, a person who are trying to save babies, baby lives, may be imprisoned. So this is how what's going on in South Africa. Now, in abortion, the most basic human right, the right to life, is being legally denied, not only in South Africa, but across the world. Planned Parenthood in America, United Nations and the World Health Organization, and in South Africa, Mary Stopes Clinic, and also throughout other places, have been at the forefront to advocate for abortion on demand and to practice abortions by using taxpayer money. That's the thing you have to get. That's why you see in America, Donald Trump is defunding Planned Parenthood because he's pro-life. He's defunding Planned Parenthood over and over, and the liberals and the Democrats are furious with him. They want to get him out. Why? Because he is defunding. He's saying no taxpayer money more for Planned Parenthood. Because what does Planned Parenthood do? They use the money for so-called, reproductive health. That's what they call it. There's a very fancy word. Oh, that sounds very good. Reproductive health. What does that mean? It means people get aborted. That's what it means. So, and the same as World Health Organization. In fact, in African countries, they put pressure now in Malawi, in Namibia, it's in the news now. They are putting pressure on governments to make abortion legal. Many African countries, it's not legal. Zambia, it's not legal. But they're putting pressure on governments to legalize abortion. And they're saying, if you don't allow abortion, we're not going to give you money. The World Health Organization is not giving you money. You see, that they are bullying people in Africa to push through this legislation. And that's how evil they are, you see. And this is what's happening. People, Mary Stopes, you probably heard of Mary Stopes in South Africa. They're actually in Midrand, they're all over the place. Bloemfontein. Planned Parenthood, World Health Organization, they have blood on their hands. You have to realize this. They're going to stand before God one day. When people get converted, they want to get out of these places, like this movie, Unplanned Shows. This woman got converted and she wanted to get out of this. because she knows the things that they are practicing here is evil. Now let me give you some statistics. More than 50 million babies have been aborted in the USA since 1973. 50 million. That's more people that died in the First World War. 40 million. 50 million people. They say it's more people that have died in abortion in America alone than in all the wars that they've been involved in, casualties, American citizens actually. In South Africa, 1.7 million babies have died in abortion legally, that we know of. There's other kinds of abortion that we don't know of. Now, if you think about the world, that's only USA and South Africa. If you take that worldwide, it's over 100 million in the last 50 years, easily. Over 100 million people have died. The abortion industry is the biggest Holocaust happening in the world today. And it seems that many people are just okay with it, because they are concerned about the world population. See, that's always the reason. Oh, we're not going to have enough water. We're not going to have enough food. We have to decrease the population. How do we do that? Abortion. That's what they say. That's how the liberals, the atheists, the secular humanists think. We have to, the population is growing too fast. We must abort. We must push this reproductive health so that the population can decrease. That's how they think. Okay? But who has given people the right to kill at will? Who has given them the right? Abortion on demand is not progression, as many people say. It's regression, and it is similar to child sacrifice. Before the wake of Christianity, many ethnic groups, what do? They sacrifice babies. In India, they did all over the world. Before the wake of Christianity, in most heathen nations, they sacrifice babies to their gods. And abortion is exactly the same. It is not progression, it is regression. We're going back to uncivilized states of being, basically. The Lord says in the Bible, I kill, I make alive. It is not their prerogative to do that. So that's my second point, abortion and the facts. Say thirdly, Christians need to speak up. Proverbs 31 verse 8 says, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. If you read church history, you would know the early Christians in the Roman Empire saved abandoned babies. That's just common knowledge. The Romans, they didn't like a baby. They would just cast it on the dump. The Christians would gather them and raise them. That's what they would do. In South Africa today, we hear of babies being abandoned all over the place. It's not news to you, I'm sure. You know what's happening. In fact, Herman Swart, you do probably know Herman. Many of you would know him. He was a member here. They have taken abandoned babies in. They have adopted them. Foster care and so on. In South Africa today, we hear of babies being abandoned almost every week. Every day. But there are places, pregnancy centers, places like Door of Hope in Joburg, and now in Kempton Park, Life Pregnancy Center. I have pamphlets here. I have many of them. Life Pregnancy Crisis Center. They actually have a box. If a woman doesn't want their baby, they can put the baby into a box, and immediately alarm will come off. And that institution, that place, are catered to take in abandoned babies and to care for them, to find parents for them. So there are places, not only in Gauteng, all over the place that can actually help women who doesn't want their babies. So there are places. Roxanne and I, in fact, last week we went to this place in Kempton Park. It's in Commissioner Street, just around the corner there. There's a place. They have counseling, women who don't know what to do with their babies. They showed us the box. There are pamphlets I can give you if you want some, and so on. So there are places that people can give their babies. Now, what I want to say is this. Silence is complicity. You must realize that. If I say nothing, if I know there's evil taking place in the world, and I say, I do nothing, and I say nothing, I'm complicit. I'm guilty as well. Proverbs 24, verse 11. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? If you know abortion is taking place and you say nothing, do nothing, you are complicit. You are guilty as well. If I know John murdered Peter, and I know exactly, and he did it in secret, but I'm the only one who knows about this murder, and I don't say anything to the police, I let him go away in his merry way, I'm complicit. I'm guilty as well. If I know murder is taking place, and I don't do anything, don't say anything to anybody, then I'm guilty as well. What hurts the most is the silent majority. For evil to conquer, all that is needed is for people to do nothing. James 4 tells us, and this is the thing that we have to get into our heads, if I know to do good and I don't do it, I sin. If I know to do good and I don't do it, I sin. You know, sin is not only lying, stealing, committing idolatry and being covetous. It's not only things that you do. If I do nothing, I sin because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. There's sins of omission and there are sins of commission. If I only sit in my house the whole day and I don't do any sin, I don't murder, I don't steal, you're also sinning because you're not doing the good that you should do. You see, there are many people think I've come to a state of sinless perfection because I don't need to do any. No, you are sinning because you're not doing the good that you should do. And that's what James says, chapter 4. If I know I need to do good and I don't do it, I sin. If we know to do good and we have the opportunity to do so and we don't do it, we sin. If I don't love my wife and my child, I sin. If I don't love my neighbor, I sin. If I do nothing, I sin. I sin if I don't warn people of coming judgment. If I know people are going to hell and I don't warn them ever, I never speak to anybody about it, I sin. That's a sin. The sin of omission. If I never speak up for the unborn, I sin. You must realize that. Not doing good is sin. If I'm complacent and indifferent to the cause of the needy and the most vulnerable, I sin. If I know people are going to hell and babies are being murdered and slaughtered in the womb day in, day out, and I do nothing, I don't do anything, I never speak up for them, I sin. I'm a sinner. Do you see, there is no neutral ground when it comes to this issue. If you say, I'm not going to do anything, you are sinning because you're not against it. You're not pro-life. You're either against abortion or you are for it. You're against it or for it. Neutrality is a myth. You're either silent, and by your silence you agree and support abortion, or you speak up for the unborn and you're against it. You are either pro-life or pro-abortion on demand. You see, you're either pro-life, you defend the weak, or you don't. And if you say, I don't want to be involved in this thing. I don't want to be involved. You know, I don't care. Just let them go. By your silence, you are putting your stamp of approval. It's okay. That's actually what it means. Our text says, speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. You see, the thing about the unborn is, the unborn doesn't have a voice unless you become their voice. They don't have a voice. They cannot speak. They cannot speak. They're vulnerable. They're the most vulnerable of all, the unborn. They cannot protect themselves. They cannot save themselves. They don't have a voice. So they cannot speak up for themselves. They're speechless. And they are being dragged to the slaughter every day. Doctors and nurses give their consent. They use taxpayer money. Mothers are being counseled to kill their babies. There are professional counselors who counsel them, go and kill your baby. And they're also guilty, of course. They're being told, this is the best thing to do. Go and kill your baby. You don't want the baby, go and kill your baby. That's what they are counseled to do by professional counselors. And that the devil is deceiving them. They say it's the easy way out. Nobody will ever know. I don't have to tell my boyfriend. I don't have to tell my husband. I don't have to tell anybody. I will just do it. Nobody will ever know. It's legal. It's fine. No, but God knows. You see, abortion leaves one dead and one wounded. That's what it does. It leaves one dead and one wounded. Women who go through these things have scars and trauma for the rest of their lives. So we cannot do nothing. You might think, Nico, what are you on about? You know, what are you saying to us? I don't try to give you a guilt trip. I'm not here to give you a guilt trip. I'm not preaching this message because I want to push something on you. I want you to do something or to make you angry. What I'm about to say, I don't say so that you might think, like I said in the beginning, I want you to do something good for the sake of doing something good. That's not my intention. I have nothing to gain from this. I have nothing to gain from you speaking up for the good. I have no ulterior motive. But Christians have stayed silent long enough about this issue. If you sit here today and you walk out of here and do nothing, know that you will have blood on your hands. If you hear the plight of the unborn and you say, I'm not going to do anything, you will have blood on your hands because you know it's evil and God is against it. Abortions are taking place every day in South Africa. Every day. It was legalized in 1997 by the consent of the ANC government, and they are performed in hospitals and clinics all over the country. Every day. All over the place. Now, I know that abortion is a complex issue. It's not a simple issue. People have unwanted pregnancy. Sometimes women are raped. But that doesn't make, you know, you cannot make one bad thing right by doing another bad thing. It doesn't help. You cannot do that. If you were if you're the victim of a woman, if a woman is a victim of sexual assault or whatever, you don't make the wrong right by doing another wrong. That doesn't work that way. In fact, we have many testimonies of many people around the world, even women who have been assaulted or raped and have kept the child, and that those children have flourished in the Christian community. So we know it's a simple thing. Unwanted pregnancies are not simple, but we have to say that unwanted pregnancies many times are the result of sexual immorality. That's also true. But just the fact that it's legal doesn't make it right. Just the fact that the government says it's okay. The government says drunkenness is okay. The government says sexual immorality is okay. The government says homosexuality is okay. Doesn't make it okay. It's not in God's court. It's not okay. It's a sin in God's court. Abortion is wrong. And that's why I read Matthew chapter 25 to you. Or Matthew's read it to you. Matthew 25 tells us that what we do to the least of these, we do for Jesus. And what we don't do for the least of these, we don't do to Jesus. Who are the least? Okay, those in prison, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who need a place to stay. Yes, those who need our help. If we don't visit them, if we don't help them, we do it to Jesus. We don't do it to Jesus. But also those least, I believe, are the unborn. They are the least of these. If you do nothing for them, you do nothing for Jesus. If you help them, you do it to Jesus. Whatever we do to the least of these, we do to Jesus. And it's so serious because if you do nothing and you know you can do something good, in fact, and in a larger sense, you will be condemned on Judgment Day if you don't do anything to the least of these. I'm not talking about abortion only. I'm talking about, you know, your neighbors in general. Being merciful is not an option. It's the evidence of saving faith. We are concerned about the least of these. And the unborn are the least of these in a real definite sense. So last point, rescue them. Proverbs 24 verse 11 says, Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Rescue them. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Rescue them. The babies are being taken away to slaughter. Now, I'm not saying you can, as an individual, save every baby that goes to the slaughter. You cannot. Just like I cannot prevent every murder taking place in the world. It's impossible. I'm just one person. You can only do so much. But the Bible says here, rescue them. What you can do, you must do. Rescue them who are taken away to death. Hold back those who are been taken to the slaughter. I'm going to give you 10 points now, just now, what you can do as a Christian to hold them back from the slaughter. Next week, or actually this week, Saturday, we're going to have a life chain. I've been involved in many, many life chains. A life chain is a peaceful protest of Christians having posters of pro-life, anti-abortion. Abortion is murder. Babies the better option. Adoption the better option. Babies are a blessing. Posters. Where we stand at an intersection. We're going to stand at Festival Mall, outside Festival Mall, at an intersection of C.R. Swart and Calvin Street. We're going to stand there. Rebecca has joined us for that. I know. I don't know if others are here. Austin as well. Roxanne as well in the past. We stand there for an hour and a half. We give out literature. And you can please come and get some afterwards. Abortion, the facts. LifeLink Pregnancy Center, Crisis Center, give it to people. LifeLink, don't abandon your baby. Stuff like this, I can get you personally a lot of these as well if you want to hand them out. We hand out literature, we stand there and we pray. We pray that God will intervene and save lives. Something that you can do. Next week, Saturday, please join us for that. Why do we do a life chain? I just want to say something about this life chain we're going to do. There are 7 things that we want to achieve. First of all, I get this from the African Christian website, Christian Action website. We try to reach mothers who are considering an abortion. Okay? We want to save a life. That's the first reason. Secondly, we want to reach medical personnel who must decide whether to participate in abortions or not. So we're standing there, we're trying, we're praying, Father, may you convict somebody to stop being involved in these things. Thirdly, Christians who need to consider volunteering to work at a crisis pregnancy center. Some Christians should go and work at a center like that. So we're trying to reach those. Fourthly, pastors who need to preach when life begins and how we ought to love our neighbors. We want to reach church leaders as well. Fifthly, we want to reach journalists who should present the other side of the abortion story. Next, politicians who need to enact legislation to protect preborn babies from the violence of abortion. We want to reach even politicians. So maybe they can overturn the legislation in South Africa. And we pray that lives will be saved. So that's why we do a life chain. That's what we do. So here are some other options for you, what you could do. The Christian Action Network urges everyone to scrape off illegal abortion posters whenever possible. You could potentially be saving the lives of two people, both the preborn baby and the mother. You've probably seen these. I mean, they're just all over the place. Abortion. Many of those abortions, they are illegal. You must realize that. They are illegal. There are illegal abortions as well. And they say, that's one, scrape those things off. Secondly, lay charges against those illegal abortionists at your local police station. Take that number and report it to the police station. That's another thing that you could do. You can actually, there's a form that you can download from the Christian Action website. That's actually something you can do. Thirdly, consider giving your time at a crisis pregnancy center like this. This one in Kempton Park or in Joburg, Door of Hope. And to counsel, pray, and support women with unwanted pregnancies. Make these centers known to young people. That's why I say, you can take some of these. There is a way out. You don't have to kill your baby, in other words. There are other ways. There are other options. And we have to make people aware of that. There are other options. Fourthly, consider adopting a child or encouraging women who can't have children and who want children to adopt a child. Many people have done that. Adopting. I know many people. Adoption. You know, we preach don't kill babies, but we should also preach adoption. Christians should adopt. If women can't have children, consider adoption. There's nothing wrong with that. I know there's some in some circles there are stigma. Adoption is not the right thing to do. There's a stigma. But as Christians, we have been adopted by God. There's nothing wrong with adoption. It's beautiful. We were all children of wrath. Every single Christian have been adopted into God's family. Teach young people and children about the evil of abortion and the sanctity of life since conception. We used to do that in Tembisa, going to the Bible studies, teaching them about. Teach young people about, if you have the opportunity, teach them about the sanctity of life and the evil of abortion. If you get them before they get involved, you can save a life as well. That's another way. Bible studies to teenagers. Participate in the life chain, like I just mentioned now. Next week, help us at the life chain. I have about 25 posters. 25 posters. Everyone is enough for everyone here. I'm also making it known other places. I have 25 posters that you can help us. Join a life chain. Other one, very effective way, social media. WhatsApp, Facebook, post videos. Make the cause known. Fight for life. You have so many friends on Facebook. 300,000. You post something, everybody sees it immediately. Sometimes there's a reaction. People don't disagree, but you've said something. There's a great movie from Living Waters, 180 movies, 30 minutes long, it's on YouTube. Share the link. Like I said, the other movie, Unplanned, excellent, one of the greatest pro-life movies I've seen. Unplanned, show that to somebody who's considering abortion. Now, you know where you move, family, friends. Sometimes you get to know of somebody who's considering this. Then you have to speak up or show them the movie, one of these movies. Vote for political parties that are pro-life and anti-abortion. Support candidates that hold to a biblical view on when life starts. Have a clear conscience when you vote. I'm not saying to you what political party you must vote, but I think it's wise to when you vote, not to vote for a party that supports abortion. I think it's wise. And now some Christians would disagree with that. They would say, no, we just, you know, don't get politics out. But I think it's wise because, you know, those candidates will fight for life. And then pray. Pray that God will intervene in the lives of those involved in practicing abortion and bring them to repentance unto life. We're thinking of doctors, we're thinking of nurses, we're thinking of women that are considering killing their babies. We have to pray for them. And we pray that the constitution will change. I know in America they now, one of the judges, Supreme Court, it's a long process, one of the Supreme Court judges have died recently, and now they are putting a new, a pro-life one in, and they think they can actually, if he's not, the nominee is elected, they can actually change the law. It's a big thing now. And I think we should pray the same in South Africa. We should pray that it becomes illegal again. That it's not easy for people to have an abortion. And then we pray, lastly, and this is very important, we pray for healing and restoration for the women that have committed abortion. Because God can forgive them. God can heal them. I know, in fact, personally, somebody who has had an abortion, and she became a Christian afterwards. And she struggled. But God helped her. And she's a Christian. And she speaks against abortion. She knows it was wrong. But it's possible for women who have had abortion. God can forgive them. God can heal them. God can restore them. And we have to pray that those women that are so guilt-ridden and have nightmares all the time come to Christ. And that they would speak up for the unborn. So these are a few things that you could do. The ball is now in your court. I've said what I wanted to say. And I just want to emphasize Proverbs 31 verse 8. Speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. May God help you. May God help you. I'm not saying in any way I think I've done enough. I don't think so. I don't think anybody can do enough in this course. But speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. Let's pray. Father, we confess our sins before you. This is such a heart sore matter across the world. So many babies have been killed. And we know what the Bible says. The Bible makes it clear. You hate the shedding of innocent blood. And Father, we will have blood on our hands if we do nothing. And Father, may you change us, help us to see opportunities where we can make a stand for life, for babies' lives, baby lives. Father, we thank you for the babies that you've given us. We thank you and we pray that you will help us. We know they are such a blessing. And Father, we pray that many Christians will consider adoption as an option for those who can't have babies, Father. We pray, we know adoption is such a lovely, beautiful thing. And Father, we pray that more people will consider adoption. And many of these women that have unwanted pregnancies will find you, Christ, as their Savior. And they will not consider killing their own children. Father, we pray for our government officials that you will bring them to repentance and that they will have the boldness to stand up for what is right, and that new legislation will be passed in South Africa that make abortion illegal. We pray for those who are involved in Planned Parenthood and Mary Stopes and clinics and hospitals and doctors and nurses who are actually practicing abortion week in and week out. Father, we pray for mercy upon their souls. We pray for repentance. We pray that your Spirit may move in them and that they will find Christ and forgiveness. Father, we pray that you will forgive us our sins for our not doing anything, not speaking up at all, not doing anything to the least of these. Forgive us our sins, Father, we plead, and may we do what we can do. We cannot do everything, Father, we know. We cannot save every baby, but we can do something. And Father, we pray that you will help us, guide us, direct us, fill us to do what we can do. Speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. Father, lead us, guide us, in Jesus' name. Amen.